Tiers Masechta Zochim Daf Tzadik Ches. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis, three lines from the wide lines. In the previous year, we had learned the concept of belua, the concept that if meat of tam of a karm chatos gets absorbed by another item, it gets that item that now has the absorption of karm chatos, the belua of a karm chatos, has the din of a karm chatos. Asking our ashka chon chatos to miskadosh for belua, we see this concept of belua by karm chatos. Asking our shak kadosh and nolan, how do we see this concept by other kachim? Answers the Gemara, Amar Shmuel Mishmer Beleza. There's a pasuk, which at first glance, the entire pasuk seems to be superfluous. The pasuk says, Zoyz ha-tayra la-oilu l-mincha l-chatos l-oshem l-muim u-l-zavach ha-shlomim. And what makes this pasuk extra, because the Torah speaks about every carbon individually. And the Torah, every carbon, after the Torah mentions the halach of that carbon, the Torah says, Zoyz tayra sa-oilu, Zoyz tayra sa-chatos. So why does the Torah have to again mention all of these kabbonis? So Shmuel is going to teach us, the pasuk is coming to teach us that every carbon is here to teach us rules regarding other kabbonis. La'ayla, what do we learn from the kabba ayla? Ma ki ayla, that all kabbonis are compared to the carbon ayla. Ma ayla tuna keili, just a carbon ayla requires a keili to be used. What keili we'll see in a moment. Af kol tuna keili, all kabbonis require a keili. Ask me my keili. What keili are we speaking about? Ilema Mizrak. If we're going to say that the blood has to be caught in a bowl, ask the Gemara, there's another pasuk. The pasuk says by Har Sinai, B'shal mitzi benamik sibu. Doesn't the Torah say v'yikach Moshe chatzei adam v'yosam ba'agonah? So we see that they were in Kalim. And the Mefarshim ask, wasn't Har Sinai before Kabbalah Satorah? So Mefarshim respond that even though Har Sinai took place, it was a Bama, it took place at Kabbalah Satorah, but since certainly it was considered a momentous moment in the history of Klal Yisrael, it's not just a situation that happened voluntarily at a Bama. We'll say this concept soon again. Ela the Sakin. The halacha is that a knife has to be used for the shechita of a carbon. No other way is shechita acceptable when it comes to a carbon. And ask the Gemara, v'oila gufa menalan, and how do we know that by an oila, so is the halacha, that it has to be done with a knife? Answers the Gemara, the ksiv, v'yishlach Avram, es yodoi v'yikach es hamachelos. So I saw the Mefarshim have different ways, the Achroinim have different ways, how we understand from this pasuk that a knife must be used. Some explain, because the Torah uses the words hamachelos, with that hay. That hay comes to teach us that it had to be used, it was absolutely mandatory. Another pshat that I saw in the Achroinim is that the Torah continues with the words v'yikach es machelos lishchot es benoi. Those words, lishchot es benoi, are extra to teach us this halacha that the knife is absolutely mandatory. I saw a Moshe, and the Dibros Moshe explains the Gemara as follows. He says that once the Torah absolutely required that a knife be used, it teaches, but there was no klisharis, asks Rav Moshe, in the time of Avraham Avinu. Says Rav Moshe, the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. Absolutely, there was no klisharis in the time of Avraham Avinu. But whenever the Torah tells us that a vessel has to be used when it comes to bringing a carbon, and that we are learning from Oila, it's obvious that it has to be a klisharis, because that is the only vessel that the Torah recognizes when you have to fulfill a mandatory requirement. Again, here too, the Mefarshim asked the question that Avraham Avinu shechting Yitzchak with the smachelas took place prior to Matan Torah. And there's a big debate amongst the Mefarshim if we could learn halacha from an event that occurred prior to Matan Torah. Some Mefarshim say that this is indeed a raya that you can. Others explain that you can't just look at that event as a regular event. It was an event that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, I want you to take your son as a carbon oila. So it was clearly not just to be viewed as a voluntary, it was something that we could use as a base for halacha forever. Ask the Gemara, or continues the Gemara, how do we know that was a carbon oila? For Hassam, oila hu d'ksiv, v'yaleu lo'oila takas b'nai. So there's a gaval de gavart from the Briskarov. If those of us that say Parshas Akeda every day, we start the Parshas Akeda where the Kodesh Baruch Hu telling Avraham Avinu that your son v'haleu lo'oila, you should take your son for a carbon oila. So ask the Briskarov, when our Gemara wants to prove that that event of the Akeda was an oila, why does it bring a raya from the pasuk at the end of the Akeda that Avraham Avinu took the ayil v'aleu lo'oila tachas b'noi? The Gemara should have brought a raya from the beginning of the Akeda v'aleu lo'oila. Why do we wait for a pasuk at the end of the Akeda? Says the Rav, a beautiful vart. He says, at the beginning of the Akeda, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly indicates to Avraham Avinu that I want you to bring Yitzchak as an oila. But maybe the din, the rule of an oilas Adam, is very different than the rule of an oilas behema. And our Gemara that wants to learn the halacha that every oila, an oilas behema, requires a knife, we can't learn it from an oilas Adam. It's a unique situation. Brings the Gemara pasuk at the end of the Akeda. What happened at the end of the Akeda, as this pasuk indicates? They took the aisle, the aleu la oila tachas benoi. So you see that the aisle, the oil of Adam, and the oil of the behema is one and the same. So we can learn halacha from the oil of an Adam to all carbon oils. Mincha, the pasuk mentioned the carbon mincha. What do we learn from the mincha? It says the Gemara, ma mincha ene necheles el zichri kuhuna. Just like carbon mincha may only be eaten by male kohanim, to kodesh hakodashim. Af kol ene necholim el zichri kuhuna. So to all kachim may only be eaten by male kohanim. Ask the Gemara, mahi, where do we want to apply this rule? Ichatis v'ashim, if we want to say that the chattis and asher may only be eaten by zichri kahuna, ask the Gemara, I don't need to learn that from the carbon mincha. Behedik sibu, it says explicitly by the carbon chattis for asher, kol zocher b'kahanim yichlenu. Vi shalmi tzibur, if we want to learn it regarding the halacha that the shalmi tzibur may only be eaten by zichri kahuna, merubia the ka'asi, ask the Gemara, the pasuk has the halacha, B'kodesh HaKadoshim Tachlenu Kol Zochu Yoich Loisai. And as the Gemara explains, we'll learn the Gemara, it doesn't need to teach us the halacha regular Kodesh HaKadoshim, because by regular Kodesh HaKadoshim, we already know that rule. What is the pasuk coming to teach us? Lima, it comes to teach us, Shalmei Tzibur Shenin Necholim Ela Zichrei Kahuna. So why do we have to learn, what are we learning about from the Mincha, that Kodesh HaKadoshim are only eaten by male Kohanim? Answers the Gemara, Tanayi. There's actually machloikis tanon. Ikad nafkli mahachol. There are indeed those that learn the halacha that shalmei tzibur only eat by zichrei kohanim from the pasuk kodesh kadoshim tachlena. But our gemara ikad nafkli mahachol learns it from this pasuk of lemincha. Chatos. What do we learn from chatos? Ma chatos. As we began the shir, miskadeshes bebelua. Just like by kam chatos. Whatever is nivla, whatever absorbs from the karma chatos, as we've been learning from the Mishnah in the previous Gemara, gets the din of a karma chatos, so too, by all karbonos, do we have this rule, af kol miskadeshus bebelua. What do we learn from Asham? Ma Asham, just like by karban Asham, ein shvir v'shalya kadoshba. The fetus and the sack in which the fetus is in aren't kodesh. Why? Because a carbon ashram could only come from a male animal. So certainly they don't have a fetus. Af kol, so too by all carbonus, ein shvir v'shalya kodesh bo. The fetus and the sack don't have any kedusha. But, as Rashi points out, what the Gemara here means to say is that they don't have kedusha lahakrova. Meaning as follows. We know, for example, the kloyos, the kidneys of the animal, are put on the mizbeach for haktara. So the Gemara is teaching us that if you shech the behema for carbon, and it has in it the fetus, you don't have to take the kidneys of that fetus and put it on the mizbeach for amarin. But certainly that vlad, even if it wasn't yet born, has in it kedusha. Because, says the Gemara, kesavar, this man, the Omer, is of the opinion, Vlad is Kedoshim, that the Vlad, that it should have a full-fledged status of a carbon, only happens by the Yosin and Kedoshim when they're actually born. Another point makes the Gemara. We said that a carbon Asham, can't have a Shvir and a Shalya in it. Why? Because a carbon Asham is always male. All other Kabbanas are females. So the Gemara makes the comment. The Donan, obviously this man, the Omer, is of the opinion, Donan Efshar Mishi Efshar. Even though all the Kabbanas can have a fetus, so maybe in a situation where it's possible, it would be different. This man, the Omer, says we could learn the halacha of somewhere where it's possible to have a situation from a place where it's impossible to have that situation. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that the question is that why don't we learn from a carbon oila? That a carbon oila also comes from a zachar. So the Rishonim say that the Gemara didn't want to learn this halacha from a carbon oila, because a carbon oila, as we know, is a very unique type of carbon. It's kolel, it's completely burnt. So we don't learn halachas from a carbon oila. The pasuk continues to say miluim. Miluim, we know, means the kabbanis that were brought. We're going to speak about those kabbanis extensively in Mirtz Hashem in the next perek. Miluim represents the kabbanis that were brought when the Mishkan was inaugurated. Ma miluim misreyem b'sreifa vein balchayim b'misreyem af kol misreyem b'sreifem balchayim b'misreyem, which means as follows. You really could have, if we think about it, two situations of Neisser. The classical situation of Neisser is when you have a carbon, and it's past the time when the carbon may be eaten, a day and a night, 2 days and a night, the carbon becomes Neisser. And clearly, as we've been learning, the aloch is a carbon that becomes Neisser must be burnt. But you can have another type of Neisser. What will be, let's say I'm a chuyiv to bring a carbon, I'm obligated to bring a carbon. And let's say I'm a nervous person. So instead of just designating one animal for carbon, I designate more than one animal in carbon. Then in case the first animal gets lost, I'll have the second animal. Or another situation, we had this earlier in the Masechta, where I have an animal that I designated for a carbon, and something happens, that animal gets lost. So I take another animal, and I makrev the second animal, and then the first animal is found. That's called Moiser Balachayim. Says the Gemara, that the din, that noiser is besreifa, the din that noiser must be burnt, was only said by animals that are noiser, the classical case. But the case of moiser balchayim, there is no din of sreifa. Why? Because by the miluim, but the kabbanis that the tzibur brought for the carbon miluim, when the Mishkan was inaugurated, there were no live animals. How do we know there are no live animals? Mefarshim asked. Because it's possible, the Mefarshim say, that an individual should be concerned, I'm designating an animal, maybe that animal will get lost. It's possible for an individual to lose an animal. All of those situations don't come up by the tzibur. And therefore, just like by the tzibur, there was no concept of Moiser Balachayim, even though by an individual it is theoretically possible to have a situation on Moiser Balachayim, there will not be a din of sreifa. Let's read the words inside. Mameluim, Moisreim b'sreifa. Only if there's carbon left over noiser, is there a halacha should be burned? However, if ain balchayim misrayim, leftover balchay doesn't have to be discarded. Afkal, so too the halacha by all kabbanis, misrayim noiser must be burned, vein balchayim misrayim, but not the live animals. Do they have that halacha? Then the pasuk mentioned carbon shlamim. What do we learn from that? Mashlam, just like carbon shlamim, mefaglim umispaglim. Mefaglim umispaglim means that Rashi learns, Tosfos disagrees, but Rashi learns that the carbon becomes pigel, and that mispaglim is if the carbon becomes pigel. Not only is the carbon pigel, but everything that comes along with the carbon, the nesachim and the menachas, and if it's a carbon toid, the lechamim, the loaves, all of them get the dinner pigel. By all kabbanis, the halacha is that the actual carbon becomes pigel, and everything that accompanies the carbon becomes pigel. Tosfos, when it's different shot, Tosfos says it means the dam becomes pigel and it affects the basar. Mashlamim mefaglim umispaglim, af kol mispaglim mefaglim umispaglim. Says the Gemara, we began the shir with the Gemara quoting this pasuk that we identified seems to be a superfluous pasuk, and every word of the pasuk was here to teach us a halacha. There's a different version in the Braisa quoted by Rabbi Kiva. The Masnisa Tanit Bishmei Rabbi Kiva. Mincha, what do we learn from the Mincha? Ma Mincha Miskadeshes B'Belua. Just like a Karim Mincha, there's a Dina B'Belua. Av Kol Miskadeshes B'Belua. So too is there such a halacha by all Kabbanis. I asked the Gemara, why do I have a pasuk to teach this by Mincha? And we already learned this yesterday, the pasuk that we discussed at the end of the shir, Yigdash, that the pasuk teaches us by Karban Chatos. Why do we need the same halacha to be taught by Karban Mincha and by Karban Chatos? Says the Gemara. Vitzrich lemichta v'mincha. This Karban must be stated by Karban Mincha. Vitzrich lemichta b'chatos. It has to be stated by Karban Chatos. Why? The Ashmina Mincha, if we only spoke about Mincha, the Aydi de Merikika, because the Karban Mincha is soft, it's just oil and flour, so it's Mivla. It has the ability to easily absorb. Avl Chatos, which is an animal, Emeloi, maybe it should be different. V'yashmina and Chatos, if the Torah had only taught us this halacha by Chatos, Mishum the Karer, it, meat absorbs. Av Mincha Emeloi, that's why we have to have the same halacha mentioned both by Mincha and by Chatos. Tzricha. Chatos, what do we learn from Chatos? We learn the following then. Ma Chatos, just like by Karban Chatos, the halacha is ein abo el min hachulin. Karban Chatos could only brought from chulin, which means as follows: if a person is obligated to bring a carbon, which Karban Chatos is certainly a perfect example, he can't use Maisa money to bring a Karban Chatos. He can only use chulin money. So just like a Karban Chatos ein abo el min hachulin ubiyoyim, the Karban Chatos, the avoida has to be done by day. Ubiyade aminis, we have to use the right hand. Af kol, so too by any carbon that you're obligated to bring. If it's a voluntary carbon, you could bring it from Isa. But if it's a carbon that you're obligated to bring, ein abo el min hachulin, the halacha is that it could only be brought from chulin, or biyoyim, it has to be brought by day, or biyadeh hayaminis, it has to be with your right hand. Ask the Gemara, v'chatos minolan, we're saying that this is the halacha by chatos, and we're learning all carbonos from the carbon chatos. Ask the Gemara, by Karban Chatos itself, how do we know that this is the din? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Chizda Amar Kra, V'hikrif Aaron as Parah Chatos as Shaloi. Teaches us the Pasuk, Mishaloi. There's somebody like Aaron even, who's bringing a Karban, he has to use his own funds, V'loi Mishal Tzibur, he can't use communal funds, nor V'loi Mishal Maisa can use Maisa funds. Miyoyim, ask the Gemara, do we need to learn the halacha that a carbon can only be brought by day from a carbon chatos? Isn't there a pasuk that says, miyoyim tzavoy sanafka, that teaches us that all kabanas must be brought by day? Answer, indeed, kedei nasp. It's only mentioned incidentally. We don't need to learn from carbon chatos the halacha that it has to be miyoyim. That we can learn from the pasuk miyoyim tzavoy say. Ask the Gemara, furthermore, the Gemara said that we learn from chatos, that it has to be done b'yaday hayimonis, with his right hand. Ask the Gemara, why do we need to learn it from Karban Chatos? Mid Rabbi Babachana Nafka, can't we learn it from what Rabbi Babachana taught us? Dam Rabbi Babachana Amar Shlokish, kol makom, wherever shenemar, that the Torah uses either the word etzpa or the word kahuna, it always comes to teach us an elyamin, and by every carbon, either the word etzba or the word kahuna appear. So why, asked the Gemara, do I need to learn the halacha that you use the right hand from the Karban Chatos? We can learn it from what Rabbi Bechana taught us. So one terrorist, the Gemara says, indeed, kedei naspa. This halacha also is only mentioned incidentally. We don't need to learn from Karban Chatos that all kabanas should be processed with the right hand. V'bai Seima, another terrorist, Savo Krav Shimon. He holds, as Rav Shimon explains, that indeed, etzba, if the Torah uses the word etzba, then loy bay kahuna, then you don't need the word kahuna. The word etzba in itself is enough of an indication that you need to use the right hand. But not all kabbanas have the word etzba. All kabbanas, however, have the word kahuna. But Rav Shimon is of the opinion, kahuna by etzba. If you just have the word kahuna, without the Torah mentioning the word etzba, there isn't enough of an indication that the right hand must be used. So how do I know that the right hand has to be used? I need to learn from Karban Chatos. What do we learn from Asham? Ma Asham, just like a Karban Asham, at Smoisav Mutarim, the bones of a Karban Asham are mutter. You could take, there's no noiser on the bones of a Karban Asham. Af Kol, so too by all Karbanos at Smoisav Mutarim. How do we know, as the Rishonim, that there is no din of noiser on the bones of the carbon Asham, from which we learn all other Karbanos? So the Rishonim give a number of approaches. One approach is that there's extra pasuk lo yiyah to teach us that that there's no noiser on the Asham, on the bones. Another pshat that I saw is that the Torah makes sense that on meat which is edible, so there's a possibility to say that there's an expiration date. You have to eat up the meat by a certain time. However, when it comes to the bones that aren't edible, they're here forever, there should be no noiser. But then, I saw that the Rishonim already asked a very obvious question, very relevant to this perek actually. We spent a lot of time learning this perek, that the pots and the pans in which the carbon is cooked have bleus of noiser, and therefore they have to be kashered, or if they're klicheres, they have to be broken because of those bleus. So they ask, if you have here the meat and bones of a Karban Asham, and you cook the meat and bones together, so there's bleus of the meat into the bones, so how can we say that the bones could be left, of the Karban Asham could be left? Isn't there a bleu of noiser in those bones? So some say in obvious teretz that the bones have to be separated from the meat before they cook the meat, otherwise we would indeed have a problem. But others say that no. That where does the Torah say that you have to kasher by the pots and pans, not by the bones? And I saw the Kli Chemda says a beautiful explanation as to why. Beautiful explanation. He explains as follows. He says, when you have a pot and a pan, and you cook kachim, you cook the carbon in that pot and pan. So as we've been discussing extensively in our shiurim, there's a bleah of that carbon, and now, if tomorrow or the day after, whenever, I'm going to reuse that pot, the bleah is going to go out from the pot into the next carbon or to the next food I'm cooking, and it'll become nicer, as we've been learning. A bone. If you take a bone of a carbon and you fashion it into a vessel or into whatever, you're not using it to cook. So there's no concern that the bleah will ever come out of the bone into your food, and therefore there's no reason to have to kasher it. Our Gemara, as we finish the parak Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, goes back to a din that we've discussed extensively in this parak. The Torah taught us, the Gemara has spoken in this parak extensively about the halacha, that if dam chatos splatters on the beged of the kohen, kibbutz is required. It has to be washed. Comments Rava. Amar Rava, pshitatli, to me it is obvious. Dam chatos lamata. At first, there's dam chatos splattered on the kohen's beged. The dam oila lamala. On the top of it, there's dam oila. Certainly, don kibbutz, because you have here the dam chatos directly on the kohen's beged. However, asks Rava, by Rava, what will be the halacha if dam oila lamata, you have the blood of the carbon oila on the beged, the dam chatos lamala, and you have the dam chatos above it? Mahu. Will kibbutz be required or not? Do we say, Mishum Negehu, is the chiv of kibbutz come because the dam chatos is touching your beged? And here it's touching your beged. As Rashi, it's not touching your beged. You have the dam of the oila as a chatzitza between your beged and the dam chatos. So Rashi, because of this question, explains the Gemara that what happened over here is that the blood of the oiler first splattered on your beged, on the kohen's beged, got absorbed, but the dam, so therefore since it's absorbed, the dam chatos is directly on the beged. It's not absorbed into the beged. Why is it not absorbed into the beged? Because the dam oiler is already there, but it is touching the beged. Oidama, or is the requirement for kibbutz mishum belua, because the dam chatos gets nivla in the beged, v'ha loibola. Here, because the dam oilus nivla is absorbed in that spot, the dam chatos obviously is not absorbed in that spot. Says the Gemara, Hada Pashta, ain't turning kibbutz. There is no requirement for kibbutz. There's no requirement for kibbutz because the chiv kibbutz comes because of b'liyah. However, a number of points that the mefarshim make. One, they say, is our Gemara specifically speaking about a situation where the dam oila was absorbed into the beged, and on top of that spot is dam chatas. Because the dam oila, when it gets absorbed into the beged, is still there. But let's say water, you had a water stain on your beged, and it got absorbed into your beged. Water evaporates in your beged. And therefore, if dam chatas will splatter on that spot, it could get nivla, and there'll be a chiyuv kibbutz. Furthermore, machlokes v'achronim, in this situation, where the dam oila got absorbed into your beged, and the dam chatas is on top of it, so the Gemara clearly paskin, there is no chiyuv kibbutz. What will be the halacha regarding greda? Will you have to at least scrape off that blood that's on your beged? Machlokes v'achronim. Another interesting machlokes v'achronim that I saw is what will be the halacha, now that the Gemara paskin, that the chiyuv kibbutz is only when the dam chatas is nivla, is absorbed in your beged. What will be the halacha, they discuss, if right when it splatters on, before it had a chance to get absorbed, you immediately wash it off. Will that be, because as we learned early in the parak, kvitsa, kibbutz is a big operation. You have to use all the detergents. So you want to avoid that tircha, so you wash it off right away. Will that be acceptable or not? Machloikas achronim, Dorach HaShulchan HaOsit, it seems to be makel, seems to be lenient, Dor Sameach seems to be machma. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Pshitali, to me it is obvious, Dama Bigdoy. The Gemara begins now discussing the halacha of chatzitza. We know that in halacha there's a concept of chatzitza. So, midaraisa, it's important to say this word of introduction, we've discussed previously, midaraisa, the only thing that's a chatzitza, if it's rubai, if it covers most of whatever you need to be toivel, whatever you need to immerse, a makbid, you care about it. And with Rabbanon, even if it's roiv, without being makbid, or makbid, without being roiv, it's considered a chatzitza. So here, our Gemara begins to discuss a garment. Again, in our world, it doesn't come up so much. But then, if a garment became tamei, and very easy how a garment could become tamei, let's say a nida is wearing a garment, or it was exposed to tumas mess, and you want to be toivlet, dama bigdoy, so blood is considered a chatzitza. You have to wash that beged before you toivlet. Vim tabachu, let's say the person is a butcher, so blood by him is not a problem, ain't a chaitzitz. Then it wouldn't be a chatzitza. Ask the mefarshim, the chroinim ask, why don't we say, bat ladata it's a kladam? For a butcher doesn't mind if there's blood on his beged. Everybody else does. So why do we say that most of the world aren't butchers? So I saw two turuts in Dachroinim. One turut in Dachroinim is that the butchers are, there's a significant community of butchers, a moilim, that don't care about blood. So you can't say when you have a significant group of people that butler, they don't count. The precious has a different turut. You know why you care about blood? Because you're not a butcher. But if you were a butcher, you wouldn't care either. Everybody potentially could be a butcher. And therefore it's not a chatzitza. Similarly, revav, a grease stain, a big doy, is a chaitzitz. However, v'moich revavhu, if he's a salesman of grease, ain't a chaitzitz, because it doesn't bother him. However, these are obvious halachas, says Rava. Rava now asks, dam revav a big doy. Now you have an individual who has both blood and grease on his beged. Mahu. Ask him, what's Rava's kasha? What's Rava's shayla? Im tabachu, if he's a butcher, typically mishim revav. There's a problem. The blood maybe doesn't bother him, but the stain, the grease bothers him. And if, on the other hand, says Rava, in Moichik Ravavhu, if he's somebody who sells grease, so the grease doesn't bother him, but typically Mishum Dam, the blood bothers him. So what's Rava Shaila? Asked the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, like Tzricha, it's talking about an individual, Dovet Ha Vaha. He's a butcher who also sells grease. What is the case? Do we say a Chodele Kapit? That on one stain, even though both of these stains are normal on him, but on one stain, doesn't care. Atarti, even though he's involved in blood and in grease, atarti kapit. Adilma, atarti namila kapit. Even on two stains, he doesn't care because these are both part of what he does, and the Gemara remains with a shayla. And because the Gemara remains with a shayla, the Rishayim already passed, and we have to be machmer, because the chatzitz is the shayla of the raisa. But I saw that the Aruch HaShulchan Asid asks a very interesting question. The Aruch HaShulchan Asid asks, so now we have this person that is a butcher who also sells grease, and he has both stains on his beged, so he certainly has to wash one. What will be the halacha if he washes one? Does he have to wash the second one also? Because once you have to wash both. Or do we say that once you washed off one stain, so you're back down to only one stain? One stain, Rava said, if that's your profession, it's not a chatzitza. And therefore the halacha would be that the Aruch HaShulchan says, maybe you don't have to wash both. He leaves it with a shaila. Another interesting shaila is as follows. Even a person who doesn't care because there's blood and he's a butcher or a grease and he sells grease, at a certain point he washes his clothing to take it to our world. I'll explain this more in a moment. A painter. Okay? So the question would come up, let's say a painter has paint on his hands. Or somebody who writes and he has ink on his hands. He writes all day by work. And he wants to wash to eat lunch, the tilos yadayim. So since the paint is normal for him, or the pen mark is normal for him, it's not a chatzitza. But at night, he washes his hands. The painter doesn't go to sleep with paint on his hands. He doesn't go to sleep with pen marks in your hand. So now the question is, so you see, it's not permanent, so why is it not considered chatzitza? So the Paiskim is saying, this is very relevant la'alocha. You could have something that's considered not a chatzitza, even though it's not something that always doesn't bother you. Even if it just sometimes doesn't bother you, like the case that we just gave, the painter only doesn't bother him by lunch. By dinner it'll already bother him, it's still not a chatzitza by lunch. Interesting psak from the Shalos Tshuvas Torah Lishma, an obvious psak. He says as follows, the Gemara says here that somebody who sells grease doesn't care if there's grease on his beged. Why? Because he sells grease. Says the Shalos Tshuvas Torah Lishma, that doesn't mean that let's say I have greasy hands and you sell grease, so you don't care about grease. I can wipe my hands in your beged. You don't care about your own grease, but you don't want my grease on your beged. But here we have now, as we finish the perek, a very important machloikus. Very, very important machloikus achroim. Based on this Gemara, the Ramah, the Magen Avraham, Paskin, the question that I just discussed. What would be the halacha if somebody is a painter and he has paint on his hand and now he has to wash Netilas Yadayim? May he. And the Paiskin, the Ramah, the Magen Avraham say yes, because he's a painter. Paint doesn't bother him. Shvus Yaakov disagrees. And the Shvus Yaakov says, our Gemara, if you learn the Gemara B'diuk, seems to prove his point. Because the Gemara only spoke about Dam al-Bigdoy. Why did the Gemara say the Shvus Yaakov only speak about Dam al-Bigdoy? Why doesn't the Gemara say Dam al-Basoroy on his body? Says the Shvus Yaakov. Because Basoroy is always considered something you're makbid, and doesn't make a difference who you are. Very big chumra. But he brings a nice raya. It says, we learned early in the Masechta that the Gemara says that there was a lot of blood on the Ritzbah of the Azara. There was a lot of blood on the floor of the Azara in which the Kohanim walked. So Gemara asked, isn't it a Chatzitza? So Gemara asked that it's Dam Lach, it was still liquidy, not Dam Yavish. Ask the Shvus Yaakov, even if it's Dam Yavish, a Kohen works with blood. So since a Kohen works with blood, and if the Ramah and the Magen Avraham are right, that if it's something you work with, it's not considered a chatzitza, so why is it a problem? Why is it a problem? So how do Ramah and Magen Avraham, so it's a raya that on the body itself, you always have to be machmer. Shvus Yaakov's vart. How did Ramah and Magen Avraham defend themselves against the Shvus Yaakov? So the Mefarshim give a number of ways how to defend them. One is, it has nothing to do with the body, it has to do with the ritzpah. We learned early in our Masechta that the Kohen has to be standing on the Ritzpah. So if there's going to be dry blood on the Ritzpah, there's a chatzitza between the Ritzpah and the Kohen. That's why it can't be dry blood, not because of the Kohen. Others say, a Kohen is not like a painter. A painter, his profession is that he's a painter, and a painter has paint on his hands all the time. He wants that paint on his hands all the time, because it means that he has work. A Kohen, only that week, or it's maybe even less than a week, of the year that he works, does he have blood. The rest of the year, he doesn't want blood on his feet, and therefore you can't compare him to the tabach, to the painter, and therefore the kohen, even Dam Yavish, even the Ramah and the Magen Avraham would agree would be a chatzitza. Hadin lof dam chatos, hadin lof dam chatos, hadin lof dam chatos. Says the Mishnah, Tfil Yoim. We know Tefil Yoyim is a individual who had to go to the mikveh but did not have yet Cherev Shemesh. A Mechusel Kippurim is a person certain times by certain types of Tumah. The Torah requires Mitzayra, Zav, Zava, that besides the purification process, besides the mikveh and the Cherev Shemesh, they also have to bring Kabbonis. So let's say you have a Kohen who's a Tefil Yoyim or a Mechusel Kippurim, says the Mishnah, so today, they are in that status, and they brought kabbonis today. Even though they're going to eat by tonight, he's not going to be a tefil yoyim. And by tonight, he won't be a mechusel kippurim. Still, he can't get a share in the kachim that will be eaten tonight. However, the Rishonim point out that the halacha of a tefil yoyim and a mechusel kippurim are not exactly identical. A tefil yoyim can't do any avoida, and the Gemara is going to discuss the halach of a tefil yoyim until the night, until he had Harav Shemesh. A mechusel kippurim, as soon as he brings the carbon, he's no longer mechusel kippurim. So let's say today he was a mechusel kippurim, and by the afternoon he brought his carbon, anything that afterwards he could get a share in. Although, as we're going to learn, point out the Rishonim, that mid the Rabbanan, there's a chiv that the mechusel kippurim, after he brings his carbon, should after he brings his carbon, he should go to the mikveh. But that obligation is only midrabanan, and therefore, even though if he didn't yet go to the mikveh, but he did bring his kabbonis, he's already entitled to a share in the kabbonis that are being given out. An oinin, which we're going to discuss extensively in this parak, is an individual who lost a relative. There's an oinin of the Yom Hamisa, the day that this close relative passed away. There's the oinin Yom Kfura until the Kfura takes place. Negeya may touch kachim. However, ain't a makrif. He can't participate in bringing car, in, if he's a kohen. Vein a choylag lechel erev. And if he's an oinen today, even though by tonight he will no longer be an oinen, when they're distributing kabbonis, he can't get a shear. When we speak about baal mum, whether bein baal mum oivrim, whether he's a mum that could pass, bein baal mum kvuim, even though, as we know, the halach is they may not do the avoida, when it, and the Gemara is going to prove this thin by psukim, Cholkin va'olchem. Avloi makrivim, they can't do the avoida. Says the Mishnah, Kol she'en a royal avoida, whoever can't do the avoida, as we discussed earlier in the Mishnah, ain't a chayil kibasar, doesn't get a share in the basar. The kol she'en le b'basar, and if you don't get a share of the meat, ain't le b'iris, you don't get a share in the leather. Carbon oil, for example, the meat is all burnt, but the leather is distributed to the kohanim. Afilu, says the Mishnah, if somebody was Tamei b'shas Zrikas Damim, when the Zrikas Dam took place, he was in the status of Tumah, and by the time the Tor b'shas Hektech Halovim, by the time the Hektech Halovim takes place, he's already Tor. Since the crucial moment is the time of Zrika, because Hektech Halovim was by night. So let's go back to the first case of the Mishnah. Let's say somebody's with Tefil Yoyim. By day was a tefil yoyim, by the time it comes tonight, he's already tahar and a chalak b'basar. He can't get a share in the meat. Shnemar hamakrav estav shlom v'schelav b'nei Aaron loy siya shayk l'yumin l'yimana. Only somebody who's tahar b'shaz rikastam. Interesting shayla that the Paiskim discuss, which is based on this Mishnah. Our Mishnah taught us that a baal mum is a very unique individual. The avoid of a carbon he may not do, but he gets a share in the karbonis. We know that the Torah says, it's a mitzvah to say deraisa. The Torah says, v'kidashtoi, that we have an obligation to show kavod to a kohen. So the Paiskim discuss, are we obligated to show kavod to a kohen who is a baal mum? Because what's the reason that we show him kavod? Do we show him kavod because he's a kohen? And a kohen who's a baal mum is also a kohen. Or do we show him kavod because of his doing the avoida? And a kohen who's a baal mum can't do the avoida and therefore doesn't deserve the special kavod given to kohanim. The Magen Avraham seems to hold that you don't have to show special kavod to a kohen and baal mum. Most paiskim are disagreement. I, they say, you see it for yoyim is different. So they explain us the following. A kohen who's a baal mum is inherently a kohen. There's an outside problem that he has a Balmum. It doesn't affect his kahuna. And therefore, since the Kohen Balmum is really a full-fledged Kohen, he just has this impediment, we should give him the covet that a Kohen deserves. And that's our meaning. A Kohen Balmum gets the first Aliyah. We don't look if he's a Balmum or not.